Welcome everyone. So my name is Nitish. I am a support escalation engineer. I have been working with Microsoft for 9 years supporting Team Foundation Server. In this session, I will be presenting mostly new features in Build vNext is integration with Azure and what changes we have done in the Kanban board and the other changes. So this is the introduction site. PPT that I've created, which says why do we need a ALM. Now these are a collection of, you know, a few of my favorite slides that I use normally. So basically, software development in an enterprise and business organization has cross-functional barriers that hinder value delivery. Such impediments are usually a manifestation of rigid processes, ineffective collaboration tools, and development practices. And that is the reason we have ALM to solve that. Now, this is an animation I have created, which is going to tell the whole ALM story to start with. Here is a project manager who will be doing the planning, and then they are going to create a user stories in collaboration with your business analysts and team lead. And then they will be creating some diagrams. They'll be having an agreement. Then they will be architect. Then they will be creating a storyboard points. And then the user stories will be broken into tasks, and the team lead will create a UML diagram for the task, which will be assigned to the developers. QA is going to create a test cases, which will be related to your user stories. And then developer would be doing check-in codes based on the work item task. And eventually, with the check-ins, the continuous integration build will get triggered. And that is going to go into dev or QA branch. And based on that, you will be having tests related using MTM to dev and QA branch. Testing will be done, bugs will be created, and the whole project will be monitored by a project manager using SharePoint portal and Team Foundation Server, which will be showing the basic statistics. So that's that was a basic animation on the ALM. Now we have had an end-to-end ALM solution for many years with Team Foundation Server, as you all know, on-premise, which is built on a core set of capabilities to help development teams, such as source control, your agile planning tool, team rooms, test case management, feedback management, automated builds, which has been existed earlier also. Now, going forward, layered on top of that ALM core functionality, what we have introduced is we have introduced the ability to manage, deploy to, and test on environment with lab management, configure and manage release with release manager, perform on-premise load testing, then integrate completely with SharePoint and customized SharePoint sites. Now we have introduced, let me go back here. Sorry about that. Now we have introduced latest Visual Studio Online, which builds on top of that core AM functionality, ALM functionality as well, and provide additional capabilities and unique services like, you know, cloud build services, cloud load testing services, application insight, continuous development to Microsoft Azure, lightweight code editing experience. Microsoft ALM toolset is basically, you know, flexible and allows you to adopt to a mixture of on-prem or cloud-based services. You can even use TFS on-prem and use services on Visual Studio Online that makes sense to your team, like load testing services and application insight, which is the new one. And probably the next presentation will be the app insight that I'm going to present. So we will be drilling down into all those things. I'll be mostly playing the demos. Now, these are some basic license that has been, you know, expanded, which were not there earlier. So the following features are now available on Team Foundation Server users with a basic license, as in web-based test execution, agile portfolio management, work item chart authoring, team rooms. Now, what this all means, it means that all team of five or fewer members with a basic license have access to these features using your team system web access for free. Now, while larger team can access this functionality at a much lower price point. Now, there are some notes here. With stakeholder access, user can create and modify all work item and can create and save queries on all work item under their MyQuery folder. Now, this is a change from limited access in which user could create, you know, earlier and modify only those work item that they created and query and view work item that they created. Now, also stakeholder can create and modify work item using Team Foundation client, such as Microsoft Excel, Microsoft Project, and Microsoft Feedback Client. Standard features include access to the home and work hubs, now can view backlog pages and Kanban boards, can add work item through the quick add panel, which are appear at the bottom of the list. They can't move item on the page or use other feature, but they can view sprint page and task boards. They can add work item, but cannot use other sprint planning tool features. So these are the some of the basic license that changes we have done. Now the main change that has been introduced, that is a project rename. Now we have enabled the ability to rename a team project based on the feedback from community. All of your version control paths, your work item queries, and other team project certificates will be updated to reflect the new name. So team projects can be renamed multiple times, and older names can be reused as well. So I have shown it in a demo also, how you can, you know, rename your team projects along with the Kanban changes before we dive into the bug. So these are the basic changes that we have done on the Kanban board on the team base. So if you see here, there is a default collection in which there is a Fabricon Fiber project. In Fabricon Fiber project, there is a Fabricon team. Now earlier, if you remember last year, I gave a session on agile planning customization where we had to modify the configuration file to get bug on the board. But now here you just need to select this radio buttons by clicking on the gear, going to the settings in the team level, and you can make sure that either you can get bug as your PBI, you can treat them as your story if you are using agile planning and tool or product backlog item if you are using Scrum, or you can choose them at a level of task, or by default you will see here in the picture that bug do not appear on backlog board is selected. I have created a video recording on that also, I'll show you that. And these are the Kanban boards, these are the changes we have done. We have introduced a new item here, you can add it, add as many number of additional stories that you want, and you can just sort it. You can, you know, search for those things and stuff like that. So these are some changes. So we have made the cards to look broader. We have introduced a thing on swim lanes where if you want to, you know, expedite some of the work item, you can add additional column here and you can move those work item, stating that, you know, they are on high priority and you have to get it done earlier, just to show it to your team. However, you cannot change the meta state here, which is showing in progress deployment done. That will remain same. If you want, you can just reorder your PBIs, your backlog, from the board itself. Earlier, it was not visible. You can split your column in doing and done, just to, you know, have more clarity what is going on in progress, say in your coding stage, whether the code has been done or is still going on, in your testing, whether it has been done or is going on. Those things you can split now while doing the customization, and you can define the definition of done so that your team agrees when the done will be considered, when you have done with the testing, or when you have written all your unit test cases, or when you have upgraded your stuff like that. So, and these are the custom field tags that we have written. So now you can, you know, if you want, you can have your IDs, you can have your avatars here. If you want, you can have the name with the avatars. You can add more things created by. So I'll just quickly jump into the demos now, getting from the slides. Any questions before I start with the demos? So I'll just start with my demo video one here. That is on the Kanban board. Sorry for being fast, because you know I just want to make sure that I'm covering everything. So I have opened my web access page. So those of you who are familiar with TFS 2013, it is the same page. There is not much changed. And what I'm doing is there is a Fabricon Fiber project. Under that, I'm just going to one of the teams, and I'll show you how you can rename your project. Now remember, everything, whatever changes you are doing other than the renaming of project in terms of your Kanban, those changes are at your team level, not at your project level. So that's the beauty, you know, you can have different work item pin, different stuff done. That stuff would be done at the team level. So you go here, you browse, you go to the main page. One second. Come here. These are the different teams I am showing. So this is the different view for different teams. Now coming back to the main page, you can just go ahead and rename your team project. So these are the various teams I have shown. You can add your members and stuff like that. Now this is the main project, Fabricon Fiber. Now I'm going to rename this project, and I can give any other name and save it, and that will be taken care of. So I've given it a name as TFS demo. Is going to give you a warning. You can just ignore it, and when you click on rename project, your project will be renamed. So that is the biggest new thing that has been introduced. In fact, when I went to Raleigh to meet product team, at the database level, they have introduced a field called data space ID to make sure that this rename, you know, successfully takes place and syncs across other version control and work item assets. So this has been renamed here. I'll pause for the questions after 2-3 demos. So the new thing now that we have introduced is if I go to my PBI. Yeah.
Hey, we're getting like a strong breathing sound, and it's kind of distracting everybody from the presentation.
Is it better now?
Let me take a look. MVP, does it better?
Okay. Is it better? Okay.
Yes.
Thanks, Jenny. I think the mic was closer, so just stop me. Sorry about that. Okay. So do you want me to start over again, or is it okay? Are there any questions, Jackie? Can you check?
Let me take a look. I don't think I've just seen some comments. It doesn't look like there's any questions. MVPs, if you guys want to unmute real quick, if you guys do have a question.
Yeah, you can just unmute
I don't
yourself.
See anything
I'll be starting with my main demos on build. So these are just a quick introduction. I'm sure then you will be having a question when I'll be showing you the continuous deployment. Okay, so this is known to everyone. I believe this is a PBI page that we are on, product backlog item page. I hope the breathing sound is okay now, Jackie.
Yeah, you're all good now.
Okay, cool. So how you do the changes is you have renamed your project. You click on the gear icon on the top right. You are in your Fabricon Fiber database team. That team is under your team project. Now these are the backlogs which are given by default, which are features and backlog item. And these are the working days which have been given. Now these were there in TFS 2013 as well. If you want, you can change your working days. Like if you are in Israel, your weekend is different. You can just go ahead and change it. That was there earlier also. The main thing that has been introduced is this one. The bugs, which we had to earlier modify using a configuration file if we wanted our bugs on our Kanban board or on our task board. But now what we can do is we can add it just by changing the radio button. And for the backlog, if you don't want to see them, you can just uncheck them. In this, you are not seeing the Epic PBI backlog because this is an upgraded project from TFS 2013. If you're going to create a new project, you will be seeing the feature backlog, features, backlog item, and the Epic also, the yellow one. Now, what I'm going to show you here is I will be putting my bugs first as a user story or product backlog item in terms of Scrum, since I'm using a Scrum process template for creating my team project. So I'll go fast forward it, and I'll just go ahead and select my bugs and choose the behavior of bugs shown on your backlog and board. By default, if you will see, bugs do not appear on backlog or board. So this is where we're going to change it. Now, once you're going to refresh your page, you will see those bugs will come in the PBI. Earlier, we have to make a modification in the config file for add panel. So I select here radio button. Now, if I go and refresh my browser, you will see that thing has been changed. So let me fast forward it. So now if you will see here, if I'm going to refresh my page, you will see in the type right now is just giving you the option of product backlog item. If I'll hit on refresh here, you will be seeing product backlog item, or you can choose the bug. So bug is being treated as a product backlog item or equivalent to your user stories in case you are using your agile planning process template. So the terminology will be different. So you can add your bugs on the PBI, and if you go back to the board, you can change it also. And these are the iterations. So you will see your with your PBI, your tasks are linked. You can go back to your different teams, and this story is based on each and every team. So if you go back to your different team, which is Fabricon Fiber Ops team, you will still see that PBI is the only option and bug is not the option, because the change we have done using the gear, that is at the team level, not at the team project level. So that is also another new thing that has been introduced in TFS 2015. So now if I want, I can just create a bug. I can just give a name here, and it's going to add the bug. Now if I go back to my settings, so if I want to add a task, I can just add a task to this. Now I can create a task. Now this is a new thing that they have done. Earlier in the assign to, they just used to have a username sorted. Now they are using the avatars with that. That is, you will be seeing the picture of the person. And later in the card customization, I'll show you how you can edit additional field like created by IDs and all those stuff. So this is a new thing. If you want, you can search for the user also, or the recently assigned to persons also will appear here. So that is the change that has been done in the identity. So I can assign to our technical fellow, Brian Harry, this task, and I can just go ahead and save the bug, or to any other team members, save and close. So your test task is hooked with your bug. Now if we go back to our settings, now if I want the bugs to appear on the board, I can change it also. So currently I'm assigning to my iteration 4, and it's all appearing in the iteration 4. If you go to the board, you will be Kanban board, you will be seeing all these things. Now coming back to the settings, I want my bug appears on backlog with boards and requirement. I've shifted it back. Let me just go back here. So the bigger basic thing that I wanted to show here is, if you keep this bug, if you change this bug settings, if you change this bug settings to be equivalent to your task, then if you come to your board, you will be seeing this. Let me just stop this. You will be seeing this metastase to do new approved in progress. That means your bug is being treated as equivalent to task. And these meta states have been added because your bug is being treated equivalent to task. The moment I will change my bug equivalent to my product backlog item, these meta states will again change to do, in progress, and done. See, if I go back here in the settings. So currently I have changed it to bug appears on the backlog and board at task. Now like previous, I will change the bugs appear as a user stories. Now if I refresh this, you will see there is a change in the meta state. Now your bug is being treated equivalent to your PBI, and you will see your task as to do, in progress, done only. These are the meta states change back. So this change has happened at the board level. Any questions here?
Yeah, Nitish, yeah, there's some questions in here.
Yeah, go ahead. Is it there in the chat window? Shall I?
Yes, in the chat window.
Just give me 1 second. Is it okay? If we mark something as deleted, it won't delete and it's just set as delete. In TFS, we should manually delete it from the database, but in TFS online, there was okay. So no drag and drop. Is drag and drop. I need to scroll to the left. Kanban board user have an inability to resize the column on the team. Kanban board doesn't allow to make. Yeah, that is right. Just to answer to the comment that William has put in, that you know you cannot resize your Kanban board, but I think the charts have become bigger now. So you know, in some way they have addressed the question, but definitely you still cannot resize your cards. Okay. Drag and drop in Kanban board, new to progress. Sorry, font issue. Drag and drop in new Kanban board, new to progress. Okay. Thanks, William. Okay, so I'll just, in the interest of time, I will just go ahead and, you know, continue with my demos, because my main demos are going to be on build, and I hope at least I can start those in this presentation, if not completed in the one presentation. So I think the first demo I am mostly done with. So basically I just wanted to show you here that the task changes that we used to do, the customization, having you know, bugs on the board, was being done by the process configuration file earlier. Now we can just go here, change it in a radio button, and we can do those changes. So that was the whole intent of this first demo. Now coming back to my second demo, in that I have shown you a new feature called reparent. So if I play this demo here, so what I have done is I have created a new task which is not having any parent work item. So, and I will put that task in my current iteration, that is iteration 4. And when I go to my PBI in my iteration 4, I will see the parent work item being shown as unparent work item. So that's the beauty, that's the new thing they have introduced. And if I expand the unparented work item, I will see the new task that I have created, which has no association with my product backlog item or with my parent item. Now, continues to my previous demo, why task is being shown here in my Kanban PBI? Because I am treating my task as my product backlog item. If I go to my settings, that bug will be removed from here. Currently, the bug is being shown here. If I hit on the gear icon, I can remove that bug from here, and it will only show PBI, which are related to the task. So I go back to my settings, click on the settings on my team, and if you see currently, the bug appears on the backlog and boards with requirement. I will go ahead and change this. Bug do not appear neither on the backlog nor on the boards, which is a by default setting. I will click on refresh here, and you will see bugs will be gone from the Kanban board as well as from the task board. Now if I click on iteration 4, now you will see the unparented work item for my orphan task which I created in the iteration 4. So this unparented is a new feature that has been introduced. So that is also I wanted to highlight. And the main thing in the Kanban board, the changes that they have done is, now you can directly add n number of new items to your Kanban board, which earlier you were not able to do so. And the beauty is, if you are having 20 or thousands Kanban boards, you can just filter it by search. So there is a search option here where I put my arrow. Right now I am just having you know, one work item here. But if you are having hundreds of work items, and if you want to filter it, you want to search as, this search is the new thing which we have given from TFS 2015. And the good news is, in the coming version, we will be hooking our test cases with our cards also on the board. So a lot of customization is still happening, which has still not released, so I cannot disclose it. But you know, stay tuned, we'll be having a lot more functionality in the cards. So see, I can just click on new item. I can just create a new card, and then I can search it with any keywords. So I have created a task work item type. I can assign it to a person, and if you click on the assign to, again, you will see in the identity, you will be seeing the avatars. That is, you will be seeing the picture of the person. You can save and close. Now, say if you want to search for the card, you can just put any word there and it's going to filter it. Say I just put cussed, so only one card was there. Just to give you example, normally it would be helpful when there will be a thousand or, you know, when there will be hundreds and tons of work items there. At that point of time, this search thing will come into the picture. Now, as I was mentioning in the slide, we have done a lot of changes here. Now, if you don't want to see all the meta states here, you can just shrink it. And, you know, you can just look at more neat. If you don't want to see the done, you can shrink it. And if you want to do a full screen, I guess, was available in TFS 2013 as well. So you can do full screen also. And if you don't want to see the sideboard, you can just remove that, saving a lot of space. And you can just switch it to full screen. See this. Just turn to full screen. So there is, this is one thing. And then coming back to the customization, we have three level of customization: columns, swim lanes, and cards. That is what I'm going to talk about. And after that, we will jump into the build vNext. So columns, if you hit on columns here, you will be seeing these basic customization is if you want to change the name of your meta state. If you don't want to have it as new, approved, committed, done, you can just go ahead and change the meta state here. Like I have changed it to idea, and you can just give it any name. I have changed it to coding, testing, and like this. And once you save here, click on OK. Let me just fast forward it. Click on OK here. And if you want to add something, you can click on the plus item here. And you can just enter a meta state between them. And remember, these customization that I am showing you, these are at the Kanban board level. Unfortunately, in terms of meta state customization, we don't have any customization on the board yet. And it depends on the customization of your task states or your bug work item states. So that is the important thing to note. So click on OK, and you will see all your meta states in your Kanban board have changed now from to do, committed, to coding, testing, UAT, done. And if you want, you can just expand all these columns. Now let's look into the next customization here. So if you want to move around your work item, you can play around, and you know, you can just change, you can move around your cards to different stages in your development. So this is what I've been doing. I've been fiddling with this, and you know, while creating the demos and recording. So let's fast forward it and look into the next customization that I have done here. And just remember, everything I have highlighted here, we are doing all the changes. This is happening at the Fabricon Fiber web team level, and only for the work item which have been defined in the area in the Fabricon Fiber web team level. That is an important thing to note. These changes are not being done at the project level. These are being done at the team level. Now let me fast forward it to show you the next customization. So next customization, what we can do is we can edit the definition of done. So what we, so in our team, you know, we might be having different criteria when we consider the work being done. So we can click on that. We can define the definition of done, and then we can use split column of changing the state of the work item in the coding from between doing and done. That is what I mentioned in the slide also, and that is what also I'm going to show in the demo. So you can write anything, you know, code completed or any stuff that you want to mention. Code completed will be considered when your unit test written. So you can just click on OK. I'm just giving a hypothetical thing. Practically whatever is feasible, you can write that. And if you want, you can. So only for the new work item, you cannot split the columns here. For other thing, you can just go ahead and split your columns. Click on OK now. So we have splitted UAT, and for the testing I have kept the state as new, and other things are as done. So now you will see in your coding what it is divided into doing and done. And if you click here, you will see the thing that I have added. Code completed only when unit tests are written. So this will give you an idea in your different phases like coding, whether it's being still going on or if it is done, you can just move the work item or the card to the done state here. So this is another new feature which has been introduced in TFS 2015, and I wanted to highlight it. So you can move it here to done. So let me just fast forward it. Now swim lanes is the another thing which has been introduced. Now in ideally you can enter any number of swim lane that you can add. What is a swim lane? So if you want to add another row, or if you want to, you know, highlight to your stakeholder that you need to expedite certain work items or some work or product backlog item is of high priority, you can just give that swim lane name as expedite, and it's going to create another column, and you can just move your work item from the normal to expedite. So this is the expedite thing that has come up here where I'm putting my arrow. So you can just move it here. Now the only important thing, the questions that people ask me is, can we change the states here? Unfortunately, you cannot have a different workflow or the states here. The states will remain same even when you use expedite swim lanes here. So that is a new change which has been done, customization which has been done in the Kanban board. Now the last customization that I'm going to talk about it, customization of the card. So in the card, if you want, you can show the ID, or if you want, you can show the avatar and full name. So I'm just going to choose avatar only. And if you want to add any field, you can add. If you want to show the story point, you can show here, show efforts. Or if you have tagged your work item, if you want to show the tags of the work items, you can do that also. So I'll just go ahead and add a field as created by here. There are various fields, n number of fields that you can add out of the box. So I'll just choose one of them just for the demo purpose here. That is created by, and once you choose that, click on save, you will see the changes here. So you will see the ID now. You are just seeing the avatar, you are not seeing the name. Only when you hover it over, you see the name, or if you are choosing the drop down, you will see the name. And you will be seeing the created by in the card customization, who has created this particular work item. That also will be. Now if you click on the avatar, you will be seeing the name to whom you can change the assigned to field to. And once you save it, it will only show the picture here because we have removed the name. So this is the another level of customization that we have done. Now the last thing before we jump into build, which I want to show here, is the work item query that we have entered. So coming to the board, as I mentioned, there have been no customization or changes on the task board. These changes are on the Kanban board. But if you want to, query your work item by current iteration, we have introduced a macro that you can use. Earlier that was not visible. This has been introduced now. And in the My Query, if you want to share your private queries, you can just copy that URL and share. But in terms of board, unfortunately, there are no changes here. In terms of customization, it remains same. So I'll just show you how we can, query your work item by current iteration. So these are my shared queries. I'll just pick up one of my queries and I'll just edit it and add a macro at the rate current iteration. That is something new which we have introduced. Now, obvious question would be, some of the people would be asking me that, you know, if I do +1 or -1 with my current iteration, can I go to the previous iteration? Unfortunately, you cannot do that. So I'll just go to the editor here and I click on the AND. And I will add that clause at the rate current iteration. So currently, if you will see, I'm seeing 3 bug work item in the result set. Once I'll add this particular column to my WIT query, and in this, rather than mentioning the iterations, I can just mention the macro which has been introduced now at the rate current iteration. And if I execute it, I'll be seeing the work item I'll be seeing the bug in my current iteration. This is a test bug one. So that was all the demo on the Kanban board. So let's jump onto our build slides. Any questions here before I start with my build vnext? Am I audible still?
Yep.
Okay, cool. So let's jump into the build. I'll be giving the demos, but before that, let me just show you some PowerPoint slides here. So just for those, I think most of the people already know about build vnext, but just for those who are new to the build vnext platform, so the thing is, no matter what tools you use in whatever language you prefer, Team Foundation Build 2015 builds your app your way for your platform. So you just need to open your web browser to tell us how you want it done. Now, an early preview of the next generation of Team Build was included in RC. And moving forward from there to the release, the build automation feature that shipped in TFS 2010, TFS 2012, TFS 2013, and Visual Studio Online, based on the Windows workflow engine, will be referred to as a XAML builds now. TFS 2015 and Visual Studio Online will continue to support the XAML build templates and controllers. That is the important thing. This means, you know, that when you upgrade your on-premise server, everything will continue to work just as it does today. So the two build system will be running side by side and do not interfere with each other. So here are some highlights of the new build system. So this is what we have introduced. So this is provides you the easy customization. Now there is no need to, you know, ramp up on a platform specific build definition. You can simply click from a selection of build steps. These are the steps that I am showing you in the slide, and set a few properties. You will have the ability to create your own task or import task from the community. These tasks will be instantly available for your users. There are code review policies which can be used to set a minimum number of reviewers for pull requests. That is another thing, new thing that has been introduced in a Git, which is equivalent to your gated build definition in Team Foundation version control. I'll be talking about that also when we proceed further on in my subsequent session on 26th. So, or even, you know, we require specific user to review changes made to specific portion of your code base. So those are all taken care. So it provides easy customization. You can use various utilities here. We'll be showing you in the demo. And if you want to add some passwords, you can do that. You can save the draft of your builds, clone your build definition, and later upload it. So that's the same thing. You can develop it on a cross platform. You'll be seeing the real status when your application is building. You'll be seeing a console which will show you. You can use multiple agents for multiple team project collections. Earlier it was not possible. There is an improved continuous integration. I'll show you in the demo and the automated testing and how you can deploy on the Azure. So these are the test, cloud-based testing, and all these things we'll be looking into. Now let's deep dive into demos, you know, and let's go into the video. So let's configure a build agent first. Once a build agents communicate with Visual Studio Online account, I will walk you through the out-of-the-box capabilities as part of the standard build. Then we are going to create a build definition. We will queue a build and access the build output and log. And we will specify our repository change. Then we will also look into build and build template. And then we will create a web application and we will deploy it to our Azure portal. So let me just start with the demo. I think someone is pinging. Let's see. Okay. So let's quickly start with my demo. So I'm giving you two demos here for build demo agent because I surprisingly found that there is a change. If you go to Visual Studio Online now and if you try to download, it will, instead of PowerShell, it's going to download the Windows CMD if you are having a Windows architecture. So this is from my on-prem box. Then I will show you from Visual Studio. So what first you have to do is you have to go to the web. You have to go to your team project. Once you go to your team project, you have to click on the right-hand side on this gear. So first thing what you need to do is you need to create an agent pool. You click on agent pools tab here. You will be seeing a default agent is there given you by default. If I want to create a new pool, I will click on new pool tab and I can give name. Now the new button which they have introduced, which was not there in the preview, is you can uncheck or check this auto provision queue in your project collection. If you keep it checked, you don't have to create your new queue at your collection level. The same that you are going to create, I'm going to create at a server level, will be used at the collection level. But if you uncheck it, you have to go back to your collection again. You have to create a pool there also, and the agent that you have registered in these pools will automatically get there. I'll show it to you. So what I'm doing is I'm creating an agent pool here. We'll click on OK. I've given the agent pool my name, Nitish. I'll just go ahead and hit on OK here. So that has created, remember, the agent pool at my project level, at my server level. Now, then you have to click on download agent. It is going to download a PowerShell script, and there will be a bunch of other stuff there. So I hit on download agent. So you open the folder, it would be a zip file. You extract that zip file, click on extract all, and that will be having a PowerShell script. So that I am doing from the on-prem. Then I will show you how you can register Radiant for your Visual Studio Online. And we will show queuing the build using this agent pool and the hosted agent pool. Hosted agent pool is available only on Visual Studio Online. So if you click on the agent folder, you will see this file. Now the important one is configure agent. Now once I download my agent, I will open my PowerShell window in the administrative mode. And I will go to the location where I have downloaded my agent file. And just to make sure that I am able to run from my PowerShell window, I will make sure that the set policy for remote run has been there. So I'll just fast forward it. So you need to give the command set execution policy. Remote signed, just to make sure that you know the downloaded script doesn't get blocked and you are able to run it. So once you give that in your PowerShell window, you have to give one more command here before you run your agent configuration. Fast forward is that is get child item, get hyphen child item, recursive recurse star unblock file, just to make sure that file is not unblocked and you have the policy to run the remote script. Now you can just go ahead and execute the PowerShell script that you have downloaded while downloading the agent. Now the beauty is you don't have to install Team Foundation Server complete installation on your agent machine like we used to do in TFS 2012 or TFS 2013 for XAML build. We just have to download the stuff on any of the machine, give .configureagent.ps1 the file that we downloaded, and your agent will get configured. So you download it and it will run you through a set of steps here. So once you download it, it will ask you for the name of the agent. You can give any name. I have given name as Nitish Agent. Then it's going to ask you for the server URL. I have given the server URL of this machine, which is http://servername80. Then it's going to ask you for the pool. I created a pool, Nitish. I have given this. Then let me just pause here. Then it is going to ask you for the work folder of the agent. That is where the agent is going to perform the build and all the operations. By default, it will take the work folder in the user profile with which you are logged into the agent machine, which will be C:// user. In this case, I have logged in as Julia, and downloads agent_work. This will be the work folder. Then it's going to ask you, would you like to install the agent as a Windows service? Default is no. I will choose yes. And then it's going to ask you whether that Windows service could be NT authority local service. If you want, you can choose NT network service also. I'll choose it as a local service. So to accept the default, I just went ahead and press enter here. Now remember, this agent configuration is happening for on-prem. Now first time I got an error here because I was not giving the server URL correct. So I just ran the configuration again. And again is asked me for a server URL. This time I gave correct server URL, which was http://my-server-name:port8080/tfs. Now again it's asking me configure this agent against which agent pool. I gave Nitish, then I gave the work folder, then I chose the Windows service, chose yes here, local service. So if it had been a VSO, it had taken me for VSO credential. Since it's on-prem, it has just configured the agent. So it says the agent has been configured. Now once you go back to your machine, you will see the pool that you have created with this, the agent has been registered. And by default, when the agent gets registered, it will automatically sense the capability of your agent machine. So in this machine, if you see whatever the capability this machine was having, it is all listed down here. .NET framework version, MS build, what things this agent can do, it is listed out here. Now, I will come back to my web interface again. And I will show you how we can create a build definition. Now what I'm doing is, remember when I created an agent first, I remove the auto provision at the collection level. So whatever things that I have done here, that is done as a server level. Now I will come to my collection and I will create a queue in the collection. So I will hit on this icon. It is at a server level. Now I will first select my team project. This is a bit tricky part. I learned it hard way. So you have to select your team project, then click on settings here, and then come to the collection. And if you see here, click on the agent pools tab again. You will see the agent pool that I created has come here. This is at a server level. So one second. So I click on a team project again. Sorry for the confusion. I click on a team project again. Now with the team project, I will come to the settings here. Now once you come to the settings, you will be seeing a collection here, Fiber Fabricon collection. I click on the collections here. I will click on the build tab here. Now you will see in the manage, if you click on this, no new queue is created. Had I chosen the provision checkbox, I would have seen the queue. So I'm creating a queue manually. Default or Nitish, I can select. These are the pools that I have created at the server level. Now I am selecting one of the pools at the collection level. I'll go ahead and select Nitish. Click on OK. And once this pool is created, you will see the agent that has been registered, this pool will come at the collection level also. Now this is a bit confusing, but you don't have to worry. Now they have introduced, you know, auto provision. So you can just keep this checkbox checked, and automatically once you create your agent pool at the server level, it will get created at a collection level also. And the agent will come with all the capabilities. Now using this agent, you can create your build definition. I'll show it to you. So this was a quickie demo on creating an agent on your on-prem, not on the Visual Studio Online. I'll show you on the cloud now how you can create an agent. So any questions here before we proceed further? Okay. So I'll quickly switch to my next demo, where I'll show you end-to-end how you create a build definition and you create an agent. So I'll come here. So this is what you see. Now currently what I am is, I am at my Visual Studio Online Team Foundation server. This is not an on-prem. So if you'll see the URL here, this is nitishnagpal.visualstudio.com, and I have come at the server level. I have created a pool like I did, Nitish build pool. Now what I'm doing is I have downloaded the agent, and here you will see in the new Visual Studio Online, if you are using a Windows environment, it's not going to give you a PowerShell script, rather it will show you the CMD files downloaded here. And these you have to run it from the command prompt instead of the PowerShell, Windows PowerShell tool. So these are the files that has been downloaded. Currently, if you have a Visual Studio Online account, if you will go and check it, you will be seeing the same option. So what I'm going to do is, after downloading it, I will open my command prompt. I'll open it, run as administrator, and I will go to the same path where I have downloaded my agent. So I'll paste this, and I will give the option configure agent.cmd. Same way that I was going. It is, since I configured the agent earlier, it is asking me, do you want to also replace the server registration? So I will just go ahead and hit on yes here. Now it's asking me the same way, it is asking me the name of the pool. Pool I have already, I can give any name, Nitish agent. This is the name of the agent, sorry. Then you give the server URL, which is my Visual Studio Online, https://nitishnagpal.visualstudio.com. Now configure this agent against which pool. I have created a pool here, Nitish build pool, I will choose that. Then it's going to ask me for the path of the work folder for this agent. Default, as I mentioned, user profile work. I will take it as default. Then it's going to ask me the user account that I want to use for my build. Service account I will take as NT authority service. Now you see the difference. When you are using Visual Studio Online, the moment you click in, it will ask you for your live account or your Microsoft account to authenticate to your Visual Studio Online before registering the agent. So I authenticate with my Hotmail account, nitishnagpal@hotmail.com, and I gave the password here. And once it authenticates, you will see the agents gets successfully created and registered with this particular server. So you see the configuration is successful and the agent has been downloaded and registered with my Nitish build app pool. Now you see with default there is a hosted app pool also here, which is the Visual Studio Online app pool which Microsoft provides you. And these are the capabilities of the agent. Those capabilities are the capabilities which are there on your machine. It will automatically detect it and it will show it to you. So this is how you install your agent, and this is the capabilities of your hosted thing. Now the trick is, I will go ahead and create a build definition here, and I will show you the error it's gonna show me if I choose my Nitish build pool due to lack of capabilities, and I will copy those capabilities. Because you can add your capabilities also to the agent from the hosted. So I'll go back to my team system web access. And I will hit on the build tab. And I'll show you how you can create a build. So I have already created a Git repository here, in which I have created a team project, Nitish build demo. And I have a class library project checked in there. So I'll show you how you can create your build definition. Let me just fast forward it a bit. So once you register a agent, another important thing I wanted to show you is, you can go to your services.msc and you will see the agent will be registered here. So if you come down here, you will see VSO agent, Nitish Nagpal, Team Foundation is running, and logon account at network service. You can have multiple agent registered for one pool, and remember you can share multiple agents across team projects by sharing the pool. So that is a new thing which was not there in TFS 2013, as your controller concept was there and it was tied to one team project collection. So let's continue with our build definition. So now what I'm doing is, I'm creating the same stuff at the collection level. Is created now at a collection level also. I will create a new build definition. So you have to come here to your home folder, click on build plus tab, and this gives you multiple options for creating your new build definition. If you want to create for Maven or for Xamarin or for your iOS, for your Mac, you can choose those templates. So this is an amazing change that they have introduced. And if you want to deploy to your Azure Web App, Azure Cloud Services, which I'll be showing you in the next session, which is going to happen on 26th, please attend that. In that, you can use these templates. So right now, I'll just go ahead and use my out-of-the-box template. And I'll choose this template here. And if you want to create your own template, you can choose empty template here. I'll go back to the Build tab, choose the Visual Studio template here. Click on Next. And since I'm using a Git repository, I'll be choosing my Git repo here, Nitish Build Demo. If I had created a team project with TFEC, I could have chosen here. Now I can define which agent I want to target here. I choose Nitish Build Pool, and it has created my build definition. So by default, you will be seeing all these things now, which was not there earlier. So your NuGet installer will be there. If some dependencies are missing, it will download it. Your Visual Studio build definition, your test, then your source and publish server, your copy file, publish certificates, everything will be seeing here. And if you want to change the parameters, you have a flexibility to do it. If you want to change your test configuration assembly, you can change it if you want. So what I'm going to do is, as a first thing, in my Visual Studio build step, I will be defining the SLN file, which is a project checked into my Nitish build demo Git repository in Visual Studio Online. So I'll just expand my build demo, and I'll select the build demo.sln file. Click on OK here. And that has hooked my solution file to my Visual Studio Online build. If I want to change the platform, I can change that. Okay, so here I've used a different demo, Nitish build demo.asln. I've selected that. Now if I want to change my platform, I can change that also based on the variables that I've given. I can change the configuration. Which build I want to use? Do I want to use x86 build engine? That I can change. Which Visual Studio version I want to use? If I'm not having the latest one, I can change it to Visual Studio 2013. Those changes also I can do here for both my Visual Studio build step as well as my Visual Studio test step. If I want to change to x64, I can go ahead and change it. Now there are certain control options. If I want to make sure that build continues even on error, self-explanatory, I can check that box. If I want my build to fail then and there, if there are some error, I can keep them as unchecked. So let me just go ahead. Same thing in Visual Studio test. If I'm doing a testing, I want to make sure that my VS test version is the correct version. I can go ahead and change the setting here. So I can choose whether it's 2013 or 2015. And similarly, if I want to change the variables, I can come on the variable tab here. Currently, I am running the build only for the release. If I want to run it for debug, I can give debug option here. It is for any CPU. If I want to change it, I can change it to any CPU as well.